episode, is it actually episode 5?
I don't know. We wrote it down as episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll know when we are uploading episodes. And
yes.
This is the next one. And, we'll
and
be
we
like,
found the lost footage,
yep,
lost it. Audio of episode 2.
Amazing.
Well, really, your brother found the lost audio.
True. Go him.
Go you, buddy.
Yeah.
You are doing the Lord's work for us.
Yeah,
we appreciate you.
Is it? Do you feel this way that now it feels more official that we have an editor?
100%. I feel like we're really getting our shit together now, mm-hmm. and our episodes will actually see the light of day.
Yep.
We have almost all of our social media accounts. My mom's birthday is tomorrow. Shout mm-hmm. out, Mom. Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday.
And my mom and my dad's anniversary was today.
Wow.
Yeah. So they got married, and then it's her birthday the next day.
Hmm.
Eh.
Does she like that?
I don't know. I don't know if it was like purposeful or if that's just the way things shook out, but today after work we went to go get our nails done and my dad got a pedicure and
cute.
It was just so nice, like I was actually able to pay for all of it, which
oh.
I just felt very adult, you know,
yeah.
doing that, because nails are low-key expensive,
yeah,
you know, so
that's why this time they're looking a little rough. I'm not at the stage in life yet where I feel comfortable mm-hmm. getting everything done. So I got mm-hmm. my lashes done.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting them refilled mm-hmm. tomorrow. So I'm like keeping up with them.
Okay.
So then I was like, well, then do I also keep up with my nails? Like doing both
mm.
feels really bougie.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do both. I want to get to that point. But I also hate the maintenance. Like even knowing I have an appointment that I'm going to have to sit there and have them like do it. I'm like, ugh, it just takes time. You know?
It does. Yeah.
But then like right now I am pale. Okay, but I don't have any other makeup on. Like, it's just
yeah.
keeping my brows, like, in shape. And
mm-hmm.
then my lashes, I'm like, I can go in public and not feel like a troll.
Yeah.
And that's worth sitting there to me.
Oh, yeah. And to just, like, get to roll out of bed.
Yeah.
And, like, actually, like, I woke up like this,
yeah.
you know?
Genuinely. Like, mm-hmm. I went on a meeting just like this. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't care because it looks like I at least did something.
Yeah.
But really, no. I just
pulled all them hoes.
Yeah. And I'm happy about it. I do need to dye my eyebrows so then it would really look like I have like
ooh, yeah.
brows and lashes.
Being a girl is expensive.
It's so expensive.
Yeah.
Every girl should be assigned at birth a sugar daddy.
100%. And we have periods.
Yeah, it's honestly not
Excuse
fair.
Me? And we don't get money to buy those products. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
That's
and
a whole
we
other
We get pink taxed.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, everything about being a woman is unfair.
Huh?
We'll just sum it up with that.
We should just not have to work because honestly,
yeah.
how we exist... We are providing so much to the world.
Yes.
And I think we'll talk about this a little bit later, but females have now exceeded the education rates of men.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into it. Yeah, a little foreshadow for you.
Whenever I want to say something about that, because I think we also, like, mm-hmm. should just exist as women, mm-hmm. and, like, mm-hmm. that's enough.
Yeah.
I didn't really feel like that before,
mm-hmm.
like, in the past, and whenever I got out of my relationship, I feel like the ending of my relationship was such an identity shift that I'd bring it up all the time. But it's because it was a big fucking deal.
It is kind of an identity shift. You were with someone for over a decade.
Yeah, 12 years.
That's an identity shift.
To never again.
Right.
But whenever, what the fuck was I even talking about? We were talking about, oh, my best friend would always say, like, no, like, whenever you guys split up, like, and you heal from it, you're going to realize, like, you are the magic. And I know we talked about this, like,
mm-hmm.
you are the magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I will still say that.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I'm thinking I'm like need to do more or something, I'm like, why? I'm the fucking
yep.
magic. Just me existing
magic.
In a room brings
mm-hmm.
positive things. Like I do not have to do all these things. I don't have to try that hard. I am the magic.
Girls rule, boys drool.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get it twisted. We are both much very in love.
Yes.
I don't know if that was right English, but we are both very much, there we go. Very much in love
yeah.
with men. Men are great. I just think we have more to offer.
I also think some men are great.
Yes, our men are great.
Our men are great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we picked good ones.
Right.
Well, for me, I've only been with this guy for
mine
months.
Is just... No.
No, I mean, like, I've only known mine a couple months. He
yeah.
seems super great. But
yeah.
as we're going to talk about later,
mm-hmm.
people kind of trick you.
Yep.
Now we really have to get to these topics. We
I know.
Can't, like, keep... skipping topics because we go over.
No, we're teasing.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned.
But yeah, like, I feel like we picked good ones, but I do be looking out there, and I'm like, slim pickings.
Mm-hmm. Like, slim. oh my gosh. And just seeing things on social media, even like hearing some things, like stories within like my own personal life. Ooh, it is slim pickings. Yeah. Gotta be selective, gotta be intentional.
Yeah.
And can't like hold on for hope of what could be.
Yeah.
Whatever you see, take it for face value.
Yeah, there is no, that man has potential.
Mm-hmm.
That man is either showing up or he is getting out.
Right.
There. Yeah, I believe that 100%. If he is not showing up, if he is not doing the things, like truly, if he wanted to, he would, I believe that.
Yeah.
Today, my boyfriend drove across town because I got bad news, which I also wanted to talk about. Shit, so many things. Just to give me a hug.
Wow.
He showed up with a Little Caesars pizza. Which, granted, that was also for him.
Doesn't matter.
Reese's peanut butter cups, he did eat those too, but I also ate them.
Yeah.
And a big ass hug for like, Smear the Devil. Anyways, yeah, so if he wanted to, he would.
Yeah.
There are good men, but there's also shit ones, and I genuinely believe it is actually better to be single. Like, I was fully locked into being single unless I found someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not dealing with that.
Uh-uh.
Actually, being single is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to get rid of the narrative that if you're single at any age, it doesn't even matter what age, that something's wrong with you.
Right. Nothing is. No. To me.
Not to a woman. No. A man, red flag. Mate, could be a red flag.
Why do you not have a partner yet?
Because if you're a good one, people would pick you.
Right. Take that to what you will, or however the saying goes. But no, I think being single at, I guess, like, whatever, a more mature age, to me, I'm like, oh, okay, you have boundaries. You're being very intentional. And people want to call that picky. Who gives a fuck? Be as picky as you want in a relationship because it's your relationship and no one else's. Fuck all of the outside noise. Be picky. If anything, oh my gosh, I watched a TikTok and this chick, she was like, so you mean to tell me you have no option about who you're related to by blood and the one option that you get is the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, and you're going to choose a shit person or settle? No, no. And I was like, wow. Like, she's really, like, spitting some fire right now because that's so true. The one person that you get to choose. Or if, you know, you're non-monogamous, then the certain people that you get to choose to have your romantic relationships with, like, why would you not be selective? Oh, my gosh.
The people, so your friends, too. Like, you get to pick them, and they're going to be the ones who carry you through the hard times.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video kind of in the same, like, you get to pick this person, and it was, like, be picky because that person's going to have to carry you through, like, if you still have your parents around, like, the death of your parents, your birth. Like, these...
Did we watch, like, the same video?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. But it's, like... Yeah, if you guys have children, like that, like all of these hard things, you have to pick someone good because they are going to be the person picking you up when you fall down.
Yep.
And if you can't, like, I saw another video that was like kind of in the same wavelength, but kind of talking about, like, if you don't trust when you're like a parent of yours is in the hospital, like going through it, if you don't trust them to like handle business because you are unwell, then like you shouldn't be with that person. And I was like, holy shit. Because I don't think in the past I was in a relationship where I would have trusted that to happen.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, you got to pick well because they're going to be the one who has to, like, do that stuff with you.
Right. And because all of those situations and all of those very, very hard and impossible situations, that is added stress. Then, like, you have to, or I guess, like, the idea is that you would want to be present in those moments, but if there is all of these external things happening that are pulling your attention away from that, like, it just really sours all of the moments, right? And it just causes so much stress. And yeah, you want to have someone. If you choose to be with someone for the rest of your life, then you'd want to trust that that person's going to, like, handle those things outside while you can be present in those really, really difficult times and challenging moments.
Yeah. So pick a good one.
Yeah.
In that wavelength, what not to do. Don't fucking buy a house with your boyfriend. Don't fucking do it. I know you love him. I know that man, not you, obviously, you're married.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking to the general if this applies to you.
If this applies to you.
If this is hitting something for you.
You are in the few people who can buy a house. Because I know it's hard in this economy. And you're like, I love this person. And this goes for a girlfriend, too. Don't buy unless y'all are married. If you're not married, buy your own damn house and put it under your name. And they they can buy their own house and they can have two houses and you can rent one out and that's smart. Mm-hmm. Or if they're not in the position, like the situation I was in, to buy a house, they don't need to be on the fucking mortgage.
Yeah, because we know some people out there, marriage isn't for them. So whoever's like final decision, or I guess, sure, let's call them the breadwinner. I would say if you're not planning to get legally married because that's not your jam, whoever is contributing more mm-hmm. financially, absolutely.
They can buy the house if they're in the position. Mm-hmm. You don't need to add their name as a pity gesture, I guess. Mm-hmm. Gesture or gesture?
Gesture.
Right. Gesture. Thank you. I actually never remember that. I will always say that word wrong.
I say pendulum wrong. I say pendulum.
How often do you say that word?
I just said it last weekend on a TikTok.
Okay.
With my chest said pendulum. Anyways, the gesture.
Gesture. Right?
Now I'm like, is that the Joker thing in the castles? Anyways, the act.
Yes. The whole reason I'm so angry, I'm heated about mm-hmm. this, is because the whole time I thought I was going to be able to get out like relatively cheap. I was going to have to pay mm-hmm. him money for the buyout that mm-hmm. we agreed on. But like the actual process of doing it was going to be really cheap. Mm-hmm. And then I had an actual meeting today where they said, no, our fees are $1,800. Mm. You pay $60 for a credit report. Mm-hmm. You pay, and then you're going to have to pay other people not involved for a title change. That's about $2,000, we think. And then mm-hmm. also a recording fee or something random, which is also, they think, about $2,000. So let's add that up. That's $2,460,000 uh-huh. plus uh-huh. the $5,000 I'm supposed to pay my ex. We're uh-huh. at $11,000. Just like that. So that's why uh-huh. I'm like, if you can buy a house, that's amazing. Uh-huh. Don't pity put someone who can't fucking pay the mortgage. Uh-huh. And let's be honest, never once paid the mortgage on the mortgage. Uh-huh. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure your boyfriend's great. I'm sure he will help out in other ways. But you never know what's going to happen. So right. just...
And let him help out in those other ways, but not with his yeah. name on the deed or the mortgage.
So learn from me. Don't be me. Mm-hmm. Be better.
And be fiercely honest with yourself.
Yeah.
That's hard. As shit.
That's actually... Oh, fuck. I want to get into that, and that's not...
On the next episode, we'll talk about that.
Okay. Let's remember that. To be fiercely honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Even when you want to lie, because it's hard to admit that you were wrong.
So, we had a great conversation not too long ago mm-hmm. at a bar, just being little girly pops, and you were talking about setting patterns, or I guess like, I think for the most part, unintentionally, we may do this at the beginning of our relationships or like new relationships. I think probably more so romantic, but I think you can even do this with friendships, but you had a really great take on it.
Yeah, I think... because my whole identity shifted whenever mm-hmm. I got out of this relationship and I really started looking at like, where did it go wrong? Mm-hmm. Which is hard because that relationship, you know, started really young. So like yeah. there were patterns that were set before I really knew who I was. Mm-hmm. So that's tough because I'm in a new relationship. I don't want to start bad patterns because I realized mm-hmm. in my longer relationship, once a pattern was established, it was super hard to break it. Like, mm-hmm. And because patterns, like, build on patterns. Yeah. And so it's almost these, like, subconscious rules in your relationship mm-hmm. where you're, like, almost don't even notice that it's happening because it's, like, underlying everything. Like,
yeah.
the way you speak, the actions you do, like, the expectations, mm-hmm. that all occurs without you really talking about it. Mm-hmm. So in my new relationship, again, going back to, like, the you are the magic.
Uh-huh.
Apparently women, and I saw this on a video, so like we need to fact check it.
Yeah.
But we kind of act in like, I'm probably going to butcher this word too, reciprocity?
Yeah.
So like, mm-hmm. is that right?
Yeah, reciprocity.
So like, okay, for example, thanks Roscoe. Today I brought these drinks.
Oh yeah.
And immediately I was like, well, you've been bringing the drinks, like coming all up right. with these things, like this is your camera, like all the things. My mind was
hand
like-
hand me down camera.
But still, in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're doing so many things. I need to do this, like, to make this equal.
Yeah.
And apparently women kind of think like that. And men don't always think like that, which I don't have the facts to back this up. It was just this, like, right. video. But for them, they kind of, from the video, work in more of this, like, kind of dominance mindset. Mm. And so when women are, like, doing, mm-hmm. there's something probably more in, like, a lizard brain, not conscious, right, that's, like, oh, well, if you're doing all of these things for me, then that kind of like puts me as mm-hmm. almost like this alpha.
Yeah.
And instead, the dynamic that this video was calling for mm-hmm. is like, don't be doing all of these things, because they're not thinking like, if you do more for them, they're going to do more for you.
Mm.
And so that's how women do. So that's what we are like natural to do. But it was saying more like, they should be wanting to do things for you. And mm-hmm. that's how you know that they're like super invested.
Yeah.
Is because that's not how they naturally are. They want to show you they're worthy mm-hmm. instead of you having to show them like you're worthy, kind
yeah.
of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm even kind of thinking, okay, and I don't know what the research is or the science, but I'm even thinking from like an evolution standpoint, way back when, right? It was like the men were the hunters, the women were the gatherers. But not only were they the gatherers, but they were also the nurturers. They're the ones that took care of the babies. And also with like gathering, you're not as far out. You can, that's something that like the kids can do with you. You can still watch them, all the things. And so I even wondered if it's from like an evolution standpoint to where that's still kind of where we are. Cause you mentioned lizard brain and our lizard brain is the first thing to develop for humans. So there is still some like evolutionary aspects in our lizard brain, because our lizard brain is the thing that keeps us safe overall, like physically safe, even kind of emotionally safe too, whenever we think of fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why evolution came to mind. And I'm like, well, now we're at a point with this day and age where like hunting is going to the grocery store, right? Or keeping yourself safe can also be, you know, like making sure that the bills are paid to have electricity. So the hunting looks far different than it did back then. However, what we still notice is typically, not always, but the mom figure is the nurturing person.
Mm-hmm.
And I said figure, right? So it's whichever person like assumes that nurturing role.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I think, in most standard cases, a female of some sort. It's still interesting though, because nothing's really shifted from that evolution standpoint, but we see how so much of like the hunting aspect has shifted and
yeah.
how it's almost like the bar is kind of lowered.
Mm-hmm.
But for the female taking or the caregiving taking side, it stayed the same and even like kind of elevated, because
yeah.
now it's so hard to be a single income household. You typically have to be a dual income household. So
yeah.
now not only are we both working, but one of us has more caretaking responsibilities for like kiddos and stuff, or even
right.
like maintaining the home
mm-hmm.
than the other person. Unless you have a great communication style with your partner and you discuss those things.
Right. But it's interesting, like going into this relationship, kind of thinking about
mm-hmm.
setting patterns. And I have no doubt I'm setting bad patterns. I think that in some way that is unavoidable.
Oh my God.
Because I don't know what I don't know. So I'm
yeah.
going to have to learn as I go. There's going to be, you know, in 5 years, probably something I'm like, shit, like
mm-hmm.
I wish I had known that and I would have acted differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying not to be hard on myself, but
right.
there are things I'm doing. Like, for example, my best friend's coming to town
mm-hmm.
and in my last relationship, I would have told her, you know, you have to sleep on the couch because my ex sleeps in the bed. And granted, that was like his house too. Whereas
mm-hmm.
with my boyfriend right now, he's staying with
yeah.
me. And so there is a difference in that, but that feeling came up for me where I immediately wanted to tell my best friend, who's also coming with her baby, like, I'll get you an air mattress so that I don't disrupt my boyfriend. Like, which is so crazy, but I think it's like...
In your own home.
In my home, right, for my best
own.
Friend. Right, exactly. But there's this like feeling of wanting to give
mm-hmm.
and... Like, I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's that weird, like, anxious feeling of, you know, is he going to get mad? And I think that also, I'm
mm-hmm.
straying a little bit, but that also comes from a pattern of my last relationship
right.
where I almost had to be careful about things I did, not because
mm-hmm.
he was violent or anything, just because
right.
I learned his reaction would be negative. So I would
yeah.
try to not do that. I wanted to avoid conflict. You
yeah.
know? So I would stay away from doing things that would cause conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a lot of like things like physical labor. I do help with laundry, but like I've made it very clear that I am not a laundress and there is no expectation at this point. If I do his laundry, there's a lot of thanks and praise for that because
mm-hmm.
it's not like, well, that's your job, you know?
Yeah.
I do not cook all the time. I do not assume it is my job to feed him.
Yeah.
It is my job to feed myself.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something I found I did in my last relationship, which I think has a lot to do with like the codependency aspect because there was some addiction issues, is providing solutions. So if he came to me with an issue, my first thought would be like, well, let me fix this for you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'd be super small. It would be like, oh, this person from work said this. And I would be like, oh, well, maybe you should do this, this, and this. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then now I'm just like very soft with that. Like the pattern is, that is not my problem now. That's the pattern. I'm here if you ask me for help.
Yeah.
Other than that, oh my gosh, that seems really hard. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm really sorry. Or things that I do too is like, oh my gosh, I really appreciate that you responded in this way. Mm-hmm. I don't solve it, and I'm not expected to do anything because my presence is the magic, and that's it, period.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I love that you talked about how you're conscious about the patterns that you're making now from your previous experiences, because I think that's a lot of the times why we bring some of those patterns into those new relationships too, because I think sometimes we can tie, sorry, buddy, I'm working. I think sometimes we can tie those things of being like, oh, I remember when I did this thing at the beginning of my last relationship and it was so great and it was so wonderful, so I'm going to do that again. But what we forget is the unintentional misery it may have put us through, and then the unintentional unhealthy patterns that it led to. But I think because we just naturally hold on to like the good feelings of things, that we don't think about sometimes like the not great feelings that it leads to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite literally like doing drugs, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't think about the terrible side effects that it has, but you think about the high that you had in that moment, and that's what brings you back.
Yeah.
It's one weird. Hell of a drug, man.
Love in general?
Love, but also just like that dopamine hit, that serotonin hit is quite literally a hell of a drug, because it just keeps you coming back, keeps you doing those same things, and it's rough.
It's hard too, because like if it's true that, you know, women want to like give, that's how we show our love. Like it's hard to withhold that and not feel like a dick, you know?
Yeah.
That's been like a struggle for me, is almost like in relationships and in the world, it's been like you have to earn your place a little bit, earn the love a little bit. At least that's kind of the mindset that I'm recognizing I have. I have to do these things, be this way to earn this love. Now I'm trying to set this new thought, you know, process as a pattern of like, I can be who I am and still receive the love, and people can show up for me without me always having to do the most. And that is, I think, true. Obviously you do have to like love people and do that, but it doesn't mean that you have to earn it. You don't have to like go forward and do all these things. And so I'm really looking at some of the things that I resented the most about my last relationship. And I'm trying to think how I don't get in that again, because that was really hard, because there was the, did you set your doctor's appointment? Did you brush your teeth? Did you,
Wipe your ass.
I like shouldn't talk that much about it. He's a very clean person. But like, yeah, it would be like, did you do this work? Like, did you take the dogs? Like, did you let them potty? Like, did you, all the checking. And I've resented the fuck out of that, because to me, you're a part of this house. Like, you're a competent, intelligent human being, but you're defaulting that to me. So now I'm trying to think, how do I not be the default?
Yeah.
And I think in a way is setting that pattern now that I I'm vocalizing things to my new partner. I won't be setting your doctor's appointments, and it's not like he's asking me to. It's more like, you know, something will come up and I'm like, I really don't want to do that. And I'm just like outright stating it, and then I think I have to follow it up with the actions of not doing it. But the flip side of that is like, what do you do when you are in a long-term relationship and you've already set patterns? Like, how do you get out of that?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think it's harder for sure whenever you've set those patterns. But I think if you are able to find a way to communicate why those things are hurting you, incapacitating you for whatever reason, I mean, obviously, like for me, I'm always like, it's worth it, right? Because your feelings are valid, your words are valid, and all of this has meaning to you. So that's valid enough to speak on it, but that's hard whenever you have already set these patterns, essentially unintentionally, right? But they're all worth it, right? Like, they're all going to make a difference. And for all we know, it could shift the, no, it will shift the dynamic of the relationship, and you're going to find out a lot of things. It's either going to grow the relationship or you may find out how much this person was actually dependent on you and how much we actually enabled them to be codependent on us. Mm-hmm. So it's, you'll learn a lot about yourself, right? Like you'll learn about either if that's like something that you really like doing is like kind of having someone as a project, so to say, and like having this need to, oh, well, I need to fix this thing or I see hope in this thing. Okay, well, how can we channel that into other things that aren't self-deprecating to us or don't incapacitate us? So it's hard to do. It's possible. But yeah, like I'm not going to bullshit and say it's not because it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I think we could have a whole other episode on this. And I know we wanted to get into some other topics today, but I think this was great where it was.
I'm also curious if you guys have any questions or experience to give us on how you have recognized and broke patterns in long-term relationships, or when you're starting a new relationship, what you've done to make sure that you're setting good patterns. Mm-hmm. Like, leave us a comment and we'll call it out on the next podcast and we can talk about it again. So
yeah, I bet that there will be a great comment and we will call it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Manifesting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Well, thank y'all for joining us again for episode 5, 6, 7, 8, whichever one this is. And stay tuned next time for all of our other topics.
Bye.
Bye.